When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 151 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist. I just drank some beer and ate some chips, and I'm ready to party. Jesse, what's your name?
I'm Jesse. I just did the beer drinking part, though.
Oh, I ate some chips, man.
I am actually realizing now I haven't really eaten much today.
Yeah, I had that realization last weekend. During my softball game, it was like 2 o'clock is when the game started, and about 4 innings into the game, I was standing on second base and my legs started to shake.
Uh-oh.
And I realized that I literally had not ate or drank anything that entire day.
Wow.
And it was my second time. I hit a triple in my first at bat. Mm-hmm. Which meant that I did a lot of running, and I was pretty worn out. I couldn't even play the last 2 innings because my both my arm and my legs were all cramping up. And I was like, God, I really should do like basic human functions and eat something.
Yeah, drink some water.
Put something in my body.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It's super exciting. We also won. We are undefeated. The r/Seattle softball team, we met on the internet. And we're making sweet, sweet music on the softball field. We are 2-0-1 right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting stuff.
It is exciting, but it's not quite as exciting as the person who I'm going to dedicate this episode to, which is my man, J-Dog Wilson.
Mm.
Jay will get married on Saturday.
That's true.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It'll be... I imagine a lot of our listeners will be listening on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Good thoughts.
Pretty excited about that.
I'm always excited to put on a suit. You know, I work in such a casual place. I wear jeans to work every day now. And so I like the opportunity to just put on a suit and dance.
Uh-huh.
Is there going to be dancing?
Yeah, there'll be music.
Okay, good.
Oh, well, I might as well bring this up now because I don't want to forget.
Right.
Is it appropriate for me to ask you to bring your music player and maybe the same playlist that you had for your...
Absolutely, dude. That is a great wedding playlist.
Okay, yeah, I know.
I'm even going to enhance it with some more recent tunes.
That'd be great.
There have been some good songs this summer. I'm looking at you, Daft Punk.
Yeah.
And you got Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines. That is a jam. Dance cool. To that shit. I will. The problem is I don't have any speakers.
No, we have a sound system and everything, and we do have a music plan, but just as backup.
Oh yeah, I got it, dude.
And Tasha's brother and his buddy are doing some music. So at some point, I imagine they're gonna want to enjoy themselves. So
yeah. So I also have dinner music, and I have the dance mix as well.
Yeah, if you could bring them both along, that'd be great.
And I got my dance lights.
Obviously. Those are optional.
Two sets of dance lights. They're going to be making the trip to Port Townsend.
Okay. Well, this is me finalizing some of my wedding plans.
Excellent.
Over a podcast.
Perfect.
So I want to take a step back and talk about something that happened to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying lunch with my mother and my sister, who's in town now, and Tasha and my daughter.
Right.
And we were at Giardini's. Which, quick aside, that's what I like to think that friend of the show, Jordy Hoyt, his magician name would be.
That's exactly what I was thinking, is Jordy in a top hat and a cape.
Yeah, so I was at Giardini's.
As an escape artist, Jordy chained up in a 1920s one-piece bathing suit.
The great Giardini! Can he escape his most daring yet?
I can just imagine zooming in on his face and he has that scared face.
Totally. But so I was at Giardini's.
Yep.
And they have a balcony that overlooks the Puget Sound.
Yep.
And this elephant seal swims by, right? 5 feet off the shore.
Uh-huh.
And then it just, like, beaches itself and starts flopping up, like, towards the main street. Because, like, Water Street
right.
is the main street through town. It's called Water Street because it's right on the water.
Yep.
And then I'm like, well, that's interesting. About 10 minutes later, we finish our meal and everything and go out. And there's, like, this huge crowd of people all gathered around the elephant seal.
Uh-huh.
And there were a couple of characters there, and which are some of my least favorite people on Earth, which is average civilian who is trying to be Mr. Authoritative.
Right.
Even though, like, no one asked you anything, this one guy is like, this is a 5-year-old seal pup. And first of all, I don't know how old seals get, but 5 years old, I wouldn't call him a pup. And the thing was probably like 200 pounds. It's like, as you can see, he's molting and he's in a lot of pain and you're not even supposed to be within 100 feet of him.
But he's like in the middle of the road? Where's the seal?
It was like on the sidewalk. The seal okay. like got, it was like chilling on the hot sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And, like, right when he's like, the seal's in a lot of pain, it like, let out a big, like, yawn.
Oh, God.
And then, like, had a content look on its face.
Yep.
The seal is fine. And then
this guy's full of shit. Yeah.
And then, like, 2 minutes later, this old lady, well, older lady walks up, and she's like, you're not supposed to be within 100 yards of it. It's like, okay, is it 100 feet or 100 yards? Because you're both being blowhards right now and contradicting each other.
Right.
So, best case scenario, one of you doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. Most likely, neither of you know what the hell you're talking about. So
right.
why are you trying to be like, I don't know, Mr. Know-It-All?
So if a seal goes in your house, you have to leave? Because I feel like the seal came onto our turf. I understand if the seal's on the beach.
Yeah, once you're off the beach.
Right. If you're on the beach or the water, like, that's your turf, dude. Like, I'm not going to mess with you. If you come into the Rose Theater for a movie, I'm not leaving. I paid for this seat.
I agree, but I don't know. Apparently, they're a protective species. But that's the thing. It's like, I hate these people who suddenly act like they're, you know, park rangers.
Yeah.
Just because they read a pamphlet once.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
But it was cool. And
did the cops come and arrest him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is your sister in town?
Yeah. Carly's in
town.
Oh,
God.
So she was there. And
well,
she's
for
like
the
wildlife. Yeah. Her job is like wildlife. I don't know. Relocation and stuff. She works for a company in Australia that's building like a pipeline of some sort.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Carly is like not only is she a wildlife preserver or whatever, but she's a wildlife preserver in Australia
yeah.
that has the fucking craziest animals that, like, you know this line in After Earth in the trailer where Will Smith says, everything here evolved to kill humans? That's Australia. And Carly just picks them up and, like, moves them over to places.
Yeah, exactly.
She's, like, constantly, like, posting pictures of her with, like, 9-foot spiders and she's, like, riding them into the desert.
Yeah, we have this great photo of her, like, bare hand grabbing a brown snake, which is the most poisonous land snake on Earth. But that's the stuff she does. But so she was like, she was asking my mom, like, can I give him your phone number in case I need my help? I was like, Carly, you're off the clock right now. And then, like, the local merchants came out with their sandwich boards and were, like, trying to corral it back in the water.
What? See, like, that's disruptive.
Just let it chill on the sidewalk.
See, I would have come out if I were a local merchant, got my sandwich board, put it next to it, and said, this seal has given us his seal of approval. Come get a beer at Sirens.
Yeah, I would have been like, happy price hours the entire time the seal is on the sidewalk.
Exactly. So you gotta make the most of that business opportunity.
I agree. Yeah. So that was the most exciting thing that's happened to me in a while.
Well, you are getting married on Saturday, so, yeah, so
that might be a close second.
Should trump it, but we'll see. But honestly, congratulations, sir. I'm very excited about this wedding.
I'm really excited. I'm building out the the beer serving box,
nice.
The jockey box, so
yep.
to speak. I'm just putting the final touches on that right now. And
cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. My homebrew, my saison, is tasting awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
I'm excited. Like, I used, like, the last few years, I've had like 4 or 5 weddings every summer, and this summer I only have 1 wedding. It's your wedding.
Oh, you're getting over the hump.
Yeah, I'm gonna wedding it up at your wedding.
Good. This is your chance. I mean,
I know, man.
How many opportunities do you have to be best man? You get to be.
Am I gonna be able? Is there gonna be a speech opportunity?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
That's required.
Excellent. I've been putting together the speech. Oh, it won't be as funny as your speech because your speech was probably the greatest best man speech ever. But it will be a speech, and I will say it.
Perfect.
So there you go,
man.
That's
all I asked for.
Good. All right. Enough wedding planning. Let's go ahead and move on to some listener feedback. Oh, but before we do listener feedback, what are you drinking this week, buddy?
Oh, I'm actually drinking free beer from work.
Excellent.
I brought some home because I want Carly to taste my beer. She's never had any beer that I've made before. Mm. It's a pretty important part of my life. So she was enjoying it, and I'm just drinking the rest of it today.
And then, in turn, did you taste the venom of a brown snake?
She insisted. Actually, she darted me, like, with a blowgun.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, it's an Aboriginal tradition to dart the groom with the brown snake venom the 3 days before the wedding.
Right.
And then I went in this hallucinatory trip where I thought I saw an elephant seal. It was crazy.
Excellent. Oh, man. I'm drinking the Ninkasi Radiant Ale. It's their summer seasonal. I don't know what it is about Ninkasi, dude. Like, there was that one year where Slayer was really good, and then since then, I'm not a huge Ninkasi fan.
They recently scaled up their production size. Anytime you're brewing, like, this happens anytime a brewery goes from, like, say you're on a 30-barrel kettle, and then you move up to a 100-barrel kettle.
Yeah.
It will drastically affect your flavor, all your beers. And they're actually getting some of their, you know, standard beers back in line to where they were before and tasting good. But they don't have that experience with the seasonals. So their seasonals are still a little wacky right now.
Interesting.
It's going to take a couple years for them to come back online, I think.
The thing about Ninkasi, dude, is they just, like, pump everything full of hops.
I know. It's a little much.
It's a little much. Like, I don't know. This is like it's very much in the Northwest Pale Ale style. It's kind of the hoppy red ale.
Right.
But it's just so hoppy. Like, I would like to try this right next to a Total Domination IPA and see if I could tell the difference. Because it basically just tastes like a hop kick.
Yeah. That's not really what you want. No.
Yeah. It's not a Twilight, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm trying it. So you should give it a shot, too. You may disagree with me, just like some of you did with Superman. Notably, A-Ron. let's move on to some listener feedback this week.
I'm not familiar with A-Ron's perspective.
He just I posted the show on Bald Move last week, and then he was like, oh, I want to know what you – How you like Superman, because I hated it. And if you liked it, then I got to drink a lot before this episode. I'm actually starting to dislike it just a hair because of the final scene. But anyway, we got some listener feedback this week. First one coming to us from Grant Norman. Grant says, hey, guys, I am recently new to your podcast, and I've been listening to some of your previous episodes, and I have some issues with your idea of bronies. First of all, I identify myself as a brony. I enjoy the show. I do not repeat. Do not watch it ironically like some sort of hipster douche. I enjoy the show for its animation quality, its jokes, and its references. How many cartoons have a Big Lebowski reference? All I ask is that you watch a few episodes before you judge it and start calling bronies. Stop. Wait. And start calling bronies hipster elitist douchebags? I think he means stop.
He said start.
He says, thanks and get off my back, GB from MN. Good Minnesota, dude. We don't have a Minnesota correspondent yet.
Not since Chris Cluey left.
So, great. You got to go to the Fantasy Flight company store and tell us what it's like. Because it's kind of one of the pilgrimages I would like to make in my lifetime.
Pretty good chance you'll see Chris Cluey there also.
Pretty good chance. Next up, we got a voicemail from...
Well, are we going to address the thing?
Oh, the bronies?
Yeah.
I don't like judging a book by its cover.
I've been thinking a lot about this.
Okay.
Because I needed to know what degree I was going to yell at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've decided a slight degree.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen the show.
Okay.
Tasha and Russell Nisha were watching it.
Okay.
And I saw part of it, and it was just another kid's show, in my opinion. And I really tried. I was like, well, okay, this is on. I'm going to watch it. Maybe there is some sort of profound deepness to it. And I didn't see it. And to me, what it comes down to is advertising.
Okay.
And you can tell what the demographic is based off of the ads that they play during the show.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they're not advertising, you know, microbrews and Ford F-150s and MacBooks when they're playing this show. I think they're advertising, you know, Pretty Pretty Princess game sets and Easy Bake Ovens.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, let's look at another example. I love Jeopardy.
Okay.
I think it's a great show. I go out of my way to watch Jeopardy, but it's an old lady show.
Well, you could tell because everything is like Aleve and Centrum Silver.
Exactly. It's Centrum Silver, it's Hover Rounds, and the Super Poly Grip.
Super
and I'm not
going to
sit here and say, you know, it's actually, you know, it's a hip show. It's cool. It's for young people. It's an old lady show. I admit that. So you just need to come to terms with the fact that it is a kid's show.
Well,
and,
I don't think anybody's disputing that fact. I just think that our friend Grant from Minnesota is saying that he doesn't necessarily – he gets some enjoyment out of it on his own level. I don't think he's saying it's not a kid's show.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
I'm not going to tell you not to, but also don't try and piss on my shoes and tell me it's raining. It's a kid's show, and you like watching a kid's show.
You know, this is
– fine.
I compare this, and I'm going to be very transparent here. SpongeBob SquarePants came out in 1999. I was 14 years old.
Yeah, it's the same thing as
this
people
was,
who worship at the altar of SpongeBob.
Well, I can't really stand SpongeBob anymore. But when I was 14 years old, I was on a cable television kick because my parents, when I was 14, decided to get cable TV. I was in the drought of antenna television until I was 14 years old. So all of a sudden, having 160 channels blew my mind. I watched Total Request every day, Total Request Live with Carson Daly. I was an MTV fiend, and I also...
That's what TRL stands for.
Yeah, TRL, baby.
I never knew.
Total Request Live, come on!
I had cable, too, but my parents blocked MTV.
Oh. Probably a good thing. SpongeBob was, like, in that same advent. I saw, like, for the first 3 years of SpongeBob, going into, like, my junior year in high school, I saw every episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. And you know what? I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's a kid's show. I enjoyed it. It's kind of annoying, and it's kind of silly, and it's kind of stupid, but I liked it at that time.
The thing about bronies, though, is, like, you're not there, like, writing in and be like, actually, SpongeBob is great, and it's for adults, and they made a reference to something once. It's like, again, the going back to the Jeopardy thing, if there was a category called Famous Leroys, and this was an answer to a question. It was like a Leroy Jenkins thing based off of World of Warcraft. They're still selling Polygrip. Like, it's still an old lady show.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
The other thing, too, is, like, I have a daughter. If she got into, you know, My Little Pony and was really excited about it, and then it turns out there's, like, some sort of My Little Pony thing in town, and I showed up and it's a bunch of, like, dudes in their 20s, I would turn around and leave.
Yeah, well, I don't think that those, but I think that that's a different thing because I think that those conventions are for bronies. I don't think they're for kids.
Yeah, and that I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Again, I don't crash the Jeopardy cons.
Jeopardy cons are awesome, dude.
You would show up.
I would show up and I would beat all the old people. And I wouldn't even feel bad about it. Yeah, I would literally beat them with their canes.
With their own canes. I don't know.
I don't know.
Accept bronies. I'm sorry. It's a bridge too far. You're a grown-ass man, and I think when you're in your 20s, if you're a man, you should try and emulate Don Draper.
Well,
as much of a horrible person as he is.
He is a terrible human being.
Let's play cool. I just think men should be men.
Well, also, but at the same time, dude, like, there are certain cartoons that I watch, like Samurai Jack on Netflix.
Sure,
I watch the shit out of that. But I'm not a Samurai Jacko. Like, I don't call myself, like, I don't identify just because.
Exactly. You keep it to yourself.
Even
do
Star Wars.
You want
I like
to do.
I like
but
Star
keep
Wars.
It to yourself.
I like Star Wars, but I don't call myself a Star Wars man.
And stop.
I might call myself a Star Wars man, certain.
And I have the right to shame you.
All right. I think maybe that's the bridge too far, is that you can watch a cartoon and enjoy it, and that's fine. There are plenty of cool cartoons that are out there. But I think identifying yourself as a brony immediately is going to get you some animosity thrown toward you.
Yeah, from me.
Because it's weird.
The other thing is, like, the bronies are, like, dressing up in, like, pony suits and stuff.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's a weird-ass thing to do. It's not okay.
Jesse, someday we're going to...
26.
Someday we're going to do the cosplay diaries at PAX, and we're going to cosplay and see what the experience is like.
I'm just going to flip out on everyone. But, like, if this was 1955 and you're 26 years old, guess what? You would have been 10 years removed from your first battle at Iwo Jima.
I think that kind of shows how comfortable our generation has grown up.
Well, maybe there should be some discomfort.
We're a cushy, cushy generation if there are 26-year-old
exactly.
bronies. All right. Well, we do have some more phone calls, so let's get on to those.
Are they about bronies?
They're all about bronies. I know this is a topic that you don't like to talk about, so... but our first one is from Florida, so here it is. Jay, take it away.
Hey, guys. This is Jay from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Hey, I was just calling to congratulate you guys on your 150th episode. I have listened to every single one that I can on iTunes. I don't think it goes back to the beginning, but anyway, I just called about a few things. Here in Florida, we don't really... You said you were talking about dust mites the other couple podcasts ago. We don't have those here in Florida. At least I've never seen them, and I've swam in pretty much every ditch you can here in the central area of Florida, you know. Anyway... And as far as the Founding Father beer, I bought the summer sampler pack, and the one that's real disgusting that I have, like, multiples of in my fridge is the blueberry. It's so nasty. Every time I open up the fridge and look at it, I'm like, do I want to drink that? So, anyway, I have a few of those sitting in there. They're real nasty. That's, I guess, this year's, beer that nobody wants to drink in their sampler pack. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Congratulations again. I didn't want to call in and, on the 150th, like everybody else was going to, so I figured I'd wait. All right, guys, get off my back.
Get off my back, Jay.
Get off my back. That's smart, though.
I like how Jay's like the hipster of personal arrogance listeners. He's like, I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. I'm going to wait a week.
More of a contrarian than a hipster, I would say.
Well, what is the difference?
Good point. I don't know. I'm a massive contrarian. I don't consider myself a hipster, but I will argue the opposite of anyone's point if I've had three beers in me.
I understand that you are a contrarian. I understand that, but I would also understand that some people would describe some of your behavior as hipsterish.
I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you there.
Excellent. First of all, no duck mites in Florida?
That sounds like a paradise. I'll take an amoeba any day.
Yeah.
Is that like the thing that kills you when you do the neti pot?
I think an amoeba is like basically like a giardia. I think you like swallow it and it hurts your stomach and gives you diarrhea.
Yeah, we got those. We got that beaver fever.
We just got deer pee.
Well, I always heard it as raccoon pee and poo.
Oh, I thought it was deer pee.
Well, it could be a combination of both.
It's probably just human pee.
Yeah, it's the guy who camped upstream of you.
And then second of all, the gross beer in the sampler. I know Sam Adams does that every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I found another great sampler because we did the Widmer sampler that you got for your bachelor party. And that was really good. Great, solid four beers. And then I just picked up the Bridgeport sampler, also great four beers. You had Bridgeport IPA, Hop Czar, Kingpin, which is double red, and then their seasonal, which is the Smooth Ride rye ale, which was very delicious.
Hard to go wrong with a little spicy rye.
Exactly. So, yeah, dude, if you get it the chance, Bridgeport and Widmer Brothers, both great sampler packs. And then we finally got a good old connected Dotsy. So take it away, Roger.
Hey, guys. Roger Dotsy here. I was sorry I didn't call in last week. I really wanted to contribute to episode 150 Monumental podcast there. But I guess I'm just going to do it this week. What came to mind immediately when you said your favorite moment was Eric... you doing that Rand McNally map commercial Well, that at least that made me laugh the hardest. Great moment. But, you know, everything you guys do is great. In terms of segments, I really liked sets of sitcoms. I also liked the TGI Fight Club. That was a connected Odyssey, of course, so of course I liked that. But anyway, beyond that, I had another question for you guys. This came to me one day whenever I was wanting someone to just shut up. I could hear there was some nice background music and someone was just talking. And I thought, gosh, if I could just hear the music and not hear human voices, that would be great. And that got me thinking of a good would you rather. Let's throw it out there. If you went deaf to either human voices or all other sounds, including music, which would you choose and why? Now, to clarify, if you were listening to a song and you picked human voices, you would hear the music, karaoke version, and if you were listening to it and picked lose all other sounds, you would just hear a cappella version. So, keep that in mind. I'd like to hear what you guys would say, and stay arrogant, get off my back, and all that good stuff. Bye.
Get off my back, Roger. I love you.
Get off my back and front.
Get off my laughing gas. That is an amazing question, Roger.
That's a great would you rather.
It's a great would you rather. I think that's an amazing question because it's kind of a lose-lose situation, and it's very, very complex.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, I'm going to have to go with all other sounds, but yeah. Which means that I can't listen to podcasts anymore.
Oh, wait, that's the one that you're just...
I would keep all other sounds, I think.
Mm.
And the reason why...
That surprised me. I thought you would keep human sounds.
Well, the reason why is because, first of all, I can learn sign language or, you know, write down stuff. So there's a substitute for human language that I can utilize where there isn't a substitute for all other sounds. And second of all, how am I going to DJ a wedding if I can't listen to the beat of a song?
Mm-hmm.
Or really work out, because I need music to work out too. And then third of all, there's that crazy like silent chamber. Have you seen that? It's like all over the web all the time. It's like
yeah.
The noiseless chamber and like
go crazy.
People go crazy because if your ears don't hear noise, you start having auditory hallucinations.
Like, well, okay, but I mean that doesn't happen to deaf people,
right? Because they don't have hearing, but you do have hearing in this sense. You just don't. Oh wait, would you hear auditory hallucinations if all you could hear were voices? Then all you would hear were voices.
I don't know. I think you're going too deep in this one.
I'm taking all other sounds.
I'm taking all other sounds too. My reasoning is that I work in an industrial setting and I'm running a lot of machines at the same time. And
right.
I actually am surprised how absolutely necessary it is for me to be able to hear every single sound and like how much I rely on that. Like I can tell if a tank is like our water tank is being filled because I know the particular whine of the pipes when that valve is open, and you know, it's that times 1,000. Like I really depend on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I would do. Although, yeah, podcasts are done there.
Podcasts are done, but at some point there will be a
podcast for deaf people.
An organization that, you know, does like audio podcasts of, or video podcasts of the sign language of audio podcasts.
Or just a video podcast with closed captioning.
Yeah, but sign language is better.
Sign
language is cool because you can like literally if you're talking about one thing, you can do it on your right side and then you're talking about another thing and you can do it on your left side. But then if you want to throw in an adjective, like say, I don't know, hairy, and you're talking about what was on your right side is Connick Jr., you just throw in the hairy on the right side and they know. I don't know. Like sign language has a lot of
complexities
to it.
Yeah. I saw a lady on the bus today. I didn't know if she was speaking sign language or if she just really gesticulates a lot when she's talking.
classic The Italian Conundrum.
Exactly. The Italian Conundrum. It's the sequel to The Italian Job.
Yeah. So all right. My would you rather, Eric, is would you rather basically consume food as normal now,
uh-huh,
but never really be able to get totally full?
Okay. Know what that's
or
like.
Or would you rather never have to eat again, but you also can't eat again?
So you, like, you
and you can never right. enjoy food.
Oh, I would totally take the other. I would totally take eating and not being able to get full.
Oh yeah.
Can you you still survive though, right?
Oh yeah. Well, it'd be a weird would you right. rather if.
But
you
do you get fat?
Yeah, you get fat normally.
Okay, so you get fat normal. Yeah, I would still because I feel like I'm that way now. Like I eat a sandwich and I'm like I could literally eat another sandwich right now, like no problem.
Yeah, like, but the other side is, like, you'd never have to eat again.
That's fine with me. I mean, that's really good in a post-apocalyptic situation, but I like food so much.
This question
and really, that's awesome.
A socioeconomic issue.
I guess so, because then I'm totally going into competitive eating, by the way. Like, I am Kobayashi supreme.
Again, you're munchkining the situation.
I'm very excited. All right, just we need to do a little tiny bit of roll off.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's do it. We're just going to roll. What? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We're just going to roll a 20-sided dice. See who gets to speak first on the podcast this week. Here we go.
I was going to do an analog roll, but I dropped my die and it appears to have vanished.
That happens.
So D&D dice roller it is. Yep. I got a 2.
Well, Jesse, I don't think you're going to beat me this week because I rolled a 20.
Oh, this is almost a double king.
King of the cast. Wait, what's your roll modifier?
Hmm?
What's your roll modifier? It could be double king.
Oh, I get plus 7.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. High dex score.
Cool. Well, for my first topic this week, I'm going to go straight to the Facebook feed. We got a great one from Ollie James from Anglintown.
Oh, boy.
From jolly old London town, Ollie James.
Oh.
We got two fervent listeners from England. We got Ollie James and Sam Gulahamadi. Mm-hmm. And I think we only have one now. Ollie James says, thoughts on what the Phase 3 Marvel films are going to be?
Do you know what nemesis means?
And basically, Disney this week decided to drop the bomb. It's crazy now how much movie studios are just being like, yo, we're going to just snatch up all of the release dates for the next 5 years. So basically, Marvel decided to set release dates for all of its movies that are going to be coming out through 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little redonk, but basically this November, you're going to be getting Thor: The Dark World, which I'm very excited about. Thor was my favorite Phase 1 movie.
You're a Thorgasm guy.
I am a Thorgasm guy. The guy's, I mean, Chris Pine, that's not even Chris Pine. What's his name? Chris Hemsworth. He's got blonde locks. <And he's,
It's true.
He does have blood locks, just like Thor from the comic books. I really like Thor. I love the mythology. I love that it's Norse mythology, Scandinavian core. I'm just in with that shit. I love it. So anyway, that's coming out November 8th. Plus, it's got Natalie Portman in it.
Eh. I'm not that into her.
I like Natalie Portman a lot.
Eh.
How could you not like Natalie Portman, dude?
I don't know. I find her complainy.
Well, she does have the ugly cry face.
Yeah. I'm not that attracted to her. Not like that is how I rate all humanity, but it's kind of how I rate humanity.
Well, I mean, but Natalie Portman
men and
is
women.
Natalie Portman is kind of the nerdgasm lady.
And transgendered.
Well, all nerdgasm people love Natalie Portman. All Thorgasm people love Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, see, I'd rather have sex with him than Natalie Portman. No lie. I'm not going to lie about this.
He's got very strong arms.
Yeah, that's an embrace.
You will feel safe.
Yeah.
Thor the Dark World's coming out on November 8th. Captain America the Winter Soldier's coming out next year on April 4th. Kind of early for a summer movie flick.
The Winter Soldier, huh?
Yeah.
So is this going to be about, like, the Soviets
it's
or something?
It's so weird. Yeah, because Winter Soldier in the comic books is a Soviet guy, basically.
Oh, weird.
But obviously the Soviets aren't around now, and presumably this is happening in the now universe. So it always kind of bothers me when they water that shit down, especially with Captain America, because that is a franchise that decided to do its launch film during World War II. So if World War II happened in that universe, then the Cold War probably happened as well. It's just a little bit of a bummer if they can't have, like, a Cold War Winter Soldier.
Well, that's what it sounds like it's going to be. Winter Soldier, Cold War.
I understand that, but, like, how are you going to have the Cold War? Maybe in that S.H.I.E.L.D. universe, they never brought down the wall. Because they really
maybe it'll be another periodical.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they went back in time to the 80s, which would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, they did it with X-Men successfully.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think that's going to... I'll be interested to see. Captain America was not one of my favorite Phase 1 movies. But anyway, that's coming out next year.
Didn't see it. Let's play Did Jesse See It when it comes to the Phase 1 movies. So far, I'm 0 for 2.
Okay, so we'll just go through all of them. Did you see Iron Man?
No.
You didn't see the original Iron Man?
Oh, yes, I did actually see that. Sorry.
That's a pretty good movie, dude.
It was good. I just like the opening scene.
Okay, original Iron Man, and then you have The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
No.
And then you have Iron Man 2.
No.
And then you have Thor.
No.
And Captain America.
No.
Okay, cool.
made a fucking ton of movies.
Did you see The Avengers?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay. And then on August 1st, you got Guardians of the Galaxy, which I am super excited about this movie. Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon.
I know. It sounds like garbage.
I want to see it so bad. It
sounds like 6 tons of garbage in a 5-ounce bag.
Directed by James Gunn, who directed Super, which was I really enjoyed that movie. And also starring Chris, who's the Chris in this one?
Ham. Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. It's the guy from Parks and Rec, the guy who plays Andy.
He's playing
Star-Lord, so I'm very excited about that.
He's not a leading guy.
Then you have The Avengers 2, May 1st, 2015.
Great.
Then you have Ant-Man, November 6, 2015, which is the beginning of Phase 3. Then you have three untitled projects on May 6th, 2016, July 6th, 2016, and May 5th, 2017. So that's kind of crazy because that means you're getting an untitled movie on May 6th from Marvel, and then you're getting another untitled movie a month later on June 6th of 2016. And then you're going to get... Untitled on May 5th, 2017, which is presumably, I don't know, Avengers 3? I don't know. So there's been a lot of speculation lately. And, you know, getting back to Ollie's question, thoughts on what the Phase 3 Marvel films are going to be? So there's been speculation that Doctor Strange is going to be in there. There's speculation that Black Panther is going to be in there. But I think that Marvel might sit back just a little bit for like a year, because basically it takes like 2 years to make one of these movies. I think they might sit back for a year and see what sticks from the S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, which is premiering this September on ABC. And, you know, it's a Joss Whedon show, and that's like a perfect platform for them to introduce Marvel characters into the universe. So I think that's something that they might do. Another thing that I would really like to see them do is take advantage of the reverted rights of Daredevil and maybe make Daredevil into a cool character and not Ben Affleck.
Mm, yeah, it should be the guy from Bourne Conspiracy.
Oh, Jeremy Renner?
No.
Oh, you mean...
Matt Damon.
Damon's going to be pretty old. Oh, I get it, because it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I got it. And I was like, Jeremy Renner's already Hawkeye, dude. Get off my back.
I don't even know. You're in way deep now. You're in deep. You've lost me.
I would also really love for Disney to make some deal with Sony and actually bring Spider-Man into the Avengers. Because that's kind of the major problem, is that Fox owns the Fantastic Four, X-Men, and then Sony owns Spider-Man. So they basically own all of the good Marvel characters.
How the fuck do you keep up with all this, Eric?
Slashfilm.com, baby!
There's not enough hours in the day. I don't know.
Isn't that true, though? I mean, Spider-Man is kind of the coolest Marvel character, other than... I mean, Wolverine is maybe one and 1A.
You're insane if you think Spider-Man's the coolest.
Why? Who's the coolest Marvel character?
Wolverine, Deadpool. There's a lot of cool X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, Wolverine is probably one.
Spider-Man's kind of a loser.
Dude,
he's a whiny teenager.
Oh, come on. Iron Man was never cooler than Spider-Man until Robert Downey Jr. became Iron Man.
I don't know. I've never been a Spidey guy.
Spidey Man?
Even, like, the Fantastic Four are cooler than Spider-Man.
Oh, come on. You can't say that.
Yeah. Richards is a badass.
Dude, they are cheese-tastic.
You got the flying guy.
Spider-Man has, like, the best cadre of villains, I think, in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, that's true. He brings a lot of good villains to the table.
And I feel like villains make the man. I think that's a big part of why Batman is so cool, is because his villains are awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway... the thing that I'm very excited about is this August, The World's End is coming out, which is Edgar Wright's third movie in the Cornetto trilogy following Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. So I'm super excited about that film. But then I'm also very excited to see, because he is directing Ant-Man, and I think that he could do something that's really cool with this Marvel universe. And I'm super excited to see what Edgar Wright does with Ant-Man. And Ant-Man might be the coolest character after he gets his hands on it. Also, Edgar Wright directed one of your... highlight movies, which is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which stars Jesse Wilson as Scott Pilgrim. So that's the main thing that I'm super stoked about. But I also
That was 22-year-old Jesse. 21-year-old Jesse Wilson. That was a different me. That was like golden era. Now I've moved on.
Now you're like Bronze Age Jesse Wilson.
Yeah, basically. I have definitely regressed in a lot of, like, technologically, culturally.
I know. It's the thing where somebody posted this on Reddit the other day. They were like, yeah, my younger brother just keeps referencing singers that I don't know who they are.
Right.
you just got to realize that you are suddenly outside of pop culture.
The only things I know now are... like beer styles from that were like big in 1920.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, stuff about raising kids.
Well, there you go, man. Why don't they make like tiny raisins and call them raisin kids?
That's a really good question. No, why don't they do a prequel to the California Raisins?
Right.
Called the Raisin Kids. Raising kids.
Yeah. It'd be like the Muppet Babies of the California Raisins. Anyway.
We're on to something here.
Jesse, what's your first topic?
So for my first topic, I want to talk a little bit about science.
How much would you pay for the universe? Now, there's two kinds of volcanoes. Some that ooze molten rock. Others that explode.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Is it survival more important or sex?
Great Scott! There's been a lot of talk about the Xbox One or Xbone or whatever, and the Kinect and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's sorry, I'm getting distracted by the sexy ads on this abcnews.go webpage.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Anyway, so there's a group of scientists who took the original Kinect and you are using it to... be able to direct cockroaches.
What?
So they took these, like, Madagascar hissing cockroaches and put little computer chips on them.
Oh, yeah.
And the computer chips, like, send electric impulses to the antennae of the cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the Kinect to be able to control it, because they found out that the Kinect is better at, like, if you tell, like, the cockroach, you're here, I want you to go there. It's better to use the Kinect to do that instead of, like, having humans with controllers.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard about the remote-controlled cockroach. That was, like, on NPR.
Right.
It was on This American Idol. So now it's Kinect-controlled.
So now it's a robot controlling the remote-controlled cockroach.
Excellent.
Because we wanted to disassociate humanity from this by one step.
Oh, God. They're going to take over. They're going to take over by taking over insects.
It's basically like the super army.
Yeah, computers controlling insects.
Yeah, I mean, we're fucked. We already know that nukes don't work on them.
That's true. They're like the alien ships in Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly. Do I have a visual? Negative. Anyway, yeah. So these scientists, and they're claiming that they're going to use it like
for good.
Yeah, that they can send these cockroaches, like, if there's a building collapse, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they could send them into the rubble and control them so that they can, like, go find survivors, you know?
Okay.
Because they can control through crawl through the cracks in the rubble and everything.
Building has fallen on my legs.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I want is a cockroach crawling across my face.
A robotic super cockroach.
I can't handle that shit.
Uh-huh.
Stop it.
Yeah, the ironic thing is you would have survived except for the heart attack that the robot cockroach brought on.
Right. Ugh.
I don't know. It's pretty exciting.
Can we pick better creatures? Because cockroaches are awful.
Yeah. How about meerkats? They're pretty flexible.
Meerkats are super... Cats alone. Cats can, like, slide under a door.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you got to think that that's coming. I mean, the thing is, if they program these cockroaches, but, like, dude, like, animals will be soon.
Yeah, the thing about the cockroach is they're easy to control because it's essentially, like, if you zap their left antenna, they go right because they think that they just bumped up on something.
Okay.
So apparently it's, like, super easy. Like, zap them left to go right and zap them right to go left.
So they're dum-dums.
Yeah, because they're dum-dums and they're like, oh, I bumped into something. you can, like, just zap them to get them to go where you want them to go.
Huh. Well, like I said, I think it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. That's a fact.
Mind control is a great thing for animals. And especially putting that into the hands of computers.
Yeah. What's that? Is that?
I just dropped
the end of round one.
Yeah, I dropped a die on my beer glass, and it made a great noise.
Speaking of that,
yep.
Okay, another aside here.
Excellent.
I was in the kettle at work, cleaning it out as I do between every brew.
Uh huh.
And I was singing, and I noticed when I hit like a certain pitch, like I went through each pitch.
Yep.
It would be like normal volume, normal volume. If I was like normal volume, normal volume, normal volume, normal volume. And then like a certain pitch, it would be like 10 times louder.
Yep.
And then if I went like another step up, it was normal again.
Yep.
I don't understand why.
Resonating frequency.
What's it resonating off of? Like
the sides
circle?
Of the sides of the kettle.
Like so, in a circle mover or?
If you hit the kettle... With like a with a bat or whatever, like if you drop a die on this glass like this, or if you flick it, that's its resonating frequency, and that's how you break glass. Like that's the whole thing with opera singers breaking glasses. The only reason I know this is because I went to a dorky, very music centric school for my college, and that was like the thing to do at parties was to break wine glasses from IKEA.
People actually did it.
Yeah, it's pretty
that's
easy
awesome.
Actually. So if you just hit this...
Okay, wedding request. Can you do it?
It has to be like a really cheap glass. Or
no
it has to be like crystal.
There.
Or it has to be like crystal. So if you like just hit a glass... So that's... You just got to match the pitch. And then if you sing that pitch next to the glass... then it'll, you can actually feel the glass start to vibrate because that's its resonating frequency. Now that was, I was an octave lower than its resonating frequency, so it didn't really work very well. So I'd have to be in the falsetto. But that's what it is. So you're probably hitting the resonating frequency of that beer kettle with your voice, and then that caused the entire kettle to start vibrating, and that's why it sounded louder.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, man.
Huh. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So if you ever want to break a glass, that's how you do it.
So I probably shouldn't be doing that in the super, super expensive equipment at work.
It probably won't do anything. Like, that's the thing.
Stainless steel. If I was able to bust a stainless steel kettle with my voice, I would be one of the tentpole superheroes for the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's the... actually, they did a Mythbusters about that because they tried to find the resonating frequency of a bridge and then match that with, like, a little motor. And it actually started vibrating the bridge a little bit with, like, a steel riveted bridge.
Wow.
So, resonating frequencies, man. They're interesting shit.
There you go. Resident Evil. That's what I learned.
Exactly.
Let's move on.
Let's move on, dude. It's time for some trivia, dude. I'm so happy. Like, I used to have to, like, search for dice, and then I bought this giant Whiz Dice bag from Amazon, and now I just have all the dice I need ever.
There you go.
I have, like, 18 D20s. All right, I just rolled a 4. We're doing Trivial Pursuit Genus 1. That's arts and literature, Jesse. Do you want to do this topic, or do you want to do something else?
I say let's do it.
All right, let's do it, dude. Let's do it to it. All right, arts and literature. Here we go. Jesse, this question is for you. What does the Bible call the beginning of wisdom?
Well, you're asking the wrong person for sure. I'm going to say the apple.
It is the apple, I'm pretty sure. It's when Eve ate the apple. Nope, it's the fear of the Lord. All right. All right, this question is for me. What was Eric Segal's sequel to Love Story? I'm going to say Hate Story.
I'm going to say Toy Story.
Oliver's Story.
We're close.
This topic is so good. Jesse, this question is for you. Whose autobiographical masterpiece was entitled Long Day's Journey Into Night?
Oh, it was a masterpiece. Of course I'm familiar with the autobiography of Ernest Hemingway.
Okay, I'm going to go with...
That's a very great sound.
I'm going to go with Maya Rudolph. Eugene O'Neill, of course.
Yeah, I was closer alphabetically.
Well... That all depends on whether or not you're going first name or last name. Okay. And then, Jesse, this question for you. For the win, please play along at home. What renowned Irish writer wrote... I can't even read. What renowned... Why are we doing arts and literature? I'm literally illiterate. What renowned Irish writer wore an eye patch? That is a tongue twister. I feel like that's something that Ron Burgundy would be saying.
Irish writer wore an eye patch. That sounds like something Ron Burgundy it does. Would say.
What renowned Irish writer wore an eye patch? it's up to you, buddy. Who is it?
James Joyce?
I'll go with Eugene O'Neill. James Joyce, man, you win.
All right.
Right away. Congratulations. But I won the roll-off.
I didn't win everything.
Right. Which means that we are going to take a little trip, a little journey into what I want to call the Kershaw Files. Gung, gung. we got a buddy. His name's Corey Kershaw. He's a cool guy. He sends us a lot of links, and we've known him for a long time. In fact, I owe Corey Kershaw quite a bit because... He is the person who said, "Hey Eric, I'm not going to PAX this year. Do you want my pass?"
Oh, is that how that happened?
That happened. Yeah,
wow.
You remember for that summer we would go to his house and play like D&D or whatever whatever board game. We were just there, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to PAX this year, but I have this pass. Do you want it?" And I was like, "Yes." That was 2004, guys.
That was in 2004.
2005. It was 2005. And the rest is history. It's now my favorite experience ever is PAX. So I owe a lot to Curry Kershaw for opening my eyes and for also making me a cultish convert to the PAX, to the PAX Romana. But he also sends us a lot of links, and so I just want to talk through a few of them because they make me really happy. First one is biggest bear ever found. It blew my mind. Expert says, and this is from National Geographic. Okay, there is a new title holder for the biggest baddest bear ever found. A prehistoric South American giant short-faced bear tipped the scales at up to 3,500 pounds and towered at least 11 feet standing up, according to a new study. Previous heavyweight was North American giant short-faced bear, a related extinct species that weighed up to 2,500 pounds. The largest bear on record in modern times was a 2,200-pound polar bear shot in Alaska during the 19th century. Why do we... Ugh. See, that looks like the biggest bear we've ever seen. All right, let's kill it.
Yeah. Well, that's the same reason. Like, there used to be, like, 8-foot-tall kangaroos, but they're all dead now.
Well, they're...
Because they had big hides.
I mean, yeah, they're frankly easier to hit.
Yeah, exactly. They shoot the big ones first.
South American giant short-faced bear roamed its namesake continent about 500,000 to 2 million years ago and would have been the largest and most powerful meat eater on land at the time.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be, like, the largest mammal of all time?
Well, I mean, there's the gray whale.
Well, yeah, but on land. Largest gray whale, largest man-eating, whatever.
Well, an elephant's bigger.
Yeah, but that's it doesn't eat people.
Oh, a man-eater.
Yes. Am I being clear? I might be having a stroke right now. Time loss is brain loss. So there's a picture of this dude. He's holding up the upper leg bone of one of these bears next to the skeleton of an elephant, and it's literally the same size.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, bears are cool. Prehistory is awesome.
Well, okay, when was this?
This was 500,000 to 2 million years ago.
Oh. That's a pretty big slice of time.
It's a pretty big slice of time, and it's also a very long time ago.
Is that like Pangea era?
I don't know.
Because this wasn't like when the first homies were rolling into South America and just being like, oh, shit.
So I love how you call Homo sapiens homies.
I think that's where the origin of the word comes from.
The word homies comes from? What's up, my homie?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was because like they're from your hometown.
No. It's all Homo sapiens.
Okay. I'm trying to see how long ago this was, but this was like millions of years ago. Pangea. We're talking 150 to 140 million years ago.
Oh, wow. See, this is the thing about the origin of the world.
Yeah.
And the universe. They just throw out numbers like the universe is 4.8 billion years old, and then this happened 1.2 billion, and then this happened 120 million. And at a certain point, like, I lose all scale.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, so were T-Rexes, that was like...
That 65 was like during Edison's
time, or was that literally before the birth of the universe? I forget.
I know, 65 million years is kind of mind-boggling. But
I have no way to contextualize that.
No, not at all. I mean, like, you think that the ancient Egyptians was a long time ago. That wasn't even...
Yeah, that was 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just nothing compared to 65 million. It was like... It's hard to wrap your head around.
It really is. But
and how long were we just a bunch of stupid homies wandering around, like, getting eaten by these things?
I don't know, man. But that's the other crazy thing to me is that, like, why all these giant animals? Like, I would be super stoked if there were still woolly rhinos walking around North Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit of a bummer that, like, all of a sudden all life on the planet became tiny.
Yeah, I know. It is. But that's there's Darwinism. 99% of all species that have ever existed are extinct.
Well, there you go, man. Speaking of which, another great from the Kershaw Files, is Mr. Edward Mordrake. And the great thing about this is the commentary that Corey sent along with this, which is that I can't find any evidence to confirm or deny this. So this is from Wikipedia.
Oh, I've heard about this guy, actually.
Edward Mordrake was reportedly the 19th century heir to an English peerage. What is a peerage?
It's like porridge. It's basically the same thing as porridge.
A peerage is a... It's a legal system of largely hereditary titles in the United Kingdom, which is constituted by the ranks of British nobility and is part of the British honors system. So it's basically
Ollie James could sort this out.
Right. Ollie James, send us something. He supposedly had an extra face on the back of his head. I like how they call it an extra face. Is this the case?
Yeah. It's like a space saver spare.
Yeah. He reportedly had an extra face.
It's a face saver spare.
Yeah. on the back of his head, which could neither eat nor speak. Good.
So, it you know which ones it chose in the hypotheticals that we went over earlier.
Yeah. It says, which can neither eat nor speak, although it could laugh and cry. Edward begged doctors to have his demon head removed, because supposedly it whispered Satanist language to him at night, but no doctor would attempt it. He committed suicide in his 23rd year. The description of Edward Mordrake's condition is somewhat similar to those of Cheng Zuping and Pascal Pignon. Both Mordrake and Pignon are featured in the two very special cases on a list of 10 people with extra limbs or digits in the Book of Lists edition of 1976. It's difficult to establish the facts behind Edward Mordrake's condition due to the lack of reliable medical evidence. Not even the date of his birth and death are recorded, and there are conflicting accounts regarding his suicide, as well as placement and position of his extra face. Much of what is known is based on oral retelling. Mm-hmm.
But it was the face that did the retelling, so you can't really believe it. It was a demon face.
This is so crazy to me. So first of all, maybe this guy just had some saggy skin on the back of his head and he was bald.
it's like that scene in Pulp Fiction where you see Ving Rhames behind.
It's got the Band-Aid on the back of his head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're like, is that the front of his face? Oh, that's the back of his head.
So there's always that option. The second option is that he actually did have an extra face on the back of his head, and that he was also a little bit of schizophrenic. So he was hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That's a fascinating thing, though, and I would love to see some kind of, since this is 19th century, I would love to either see some kind of Sherlock Holmes story that incorporates this guy, some kind of Jack the Ripper story that incorporates this guy, or some kind of Western that incorporates this guy.
Yeah. I like that Western.
Yeah.
Just to buy a little cowboy hat for the extra face on the back of his head. Yeah, it's creepy. And the creepiest thing about it is, like, there's some, like, stories about it, but like it can't be, like, confirmed or denied.
Right.
Like, it's just not the evidence there. So maybe it happened, but there's no evidence to suggest that it happened. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't say that didn't happen.
You never know, dude.
You don't know.
And then next week, some kid's going to be born with two faces. You're going to feel like an idiot. That's the other thing is, like, you know, there's the Batman by Gaslight, which is, like, the steampunk Batman set in the 1800s. And this is the perfect two-face for that.
Oh, that is the perfect two-face.
Yeah.
I want to know what kind of stuff the head would whisper.
Gravity is real.
It's just a theory.
Yeah. Evolution.
No, I don't even know what that word means.
Seek out Charles Darwin. He's right.
I don't know.
Oh, so that's the Kershaw Files for this week, guys. Gung Gung. Jesse, what's your Seco Tapo?
Well, it's going to be real similar because this was submitted by a friend of the show, Corey Kershaw. I'm taking it out of the Kershaw file.
Okay.
And I'm putting it into the WTF file.
Excellent.
So in I'm pretty sure this is in England somewhere. Uh-huh. A South American plant, South America being a popular theme, that's 10 feet tall. With spiky flowers. It's going to bloom in Surrey, which is either England or just south of Vancouver, British Columbia. Glasshouse for the first time since it was planted 15 years ago.
Wow.
The best thing about this plant?
Uh-huh.
Colloquially known as a sheep-eating plant.
Excellent.
Because apparently when sheep wander by this plant, it stabs it with its spiky spikes.
What?
Kills the sheep. And then the sheep dies and then decomposes, providing it with nutrients. It's the ultimate carnivorous plant.
Is this real?
This is a real thing. This is part of the Royal Horticultural Society at Wesley. Anyway, somewhere in England, and they wouldn't lie to you there.
They would not lie. British people don't lie.
It's crazy. It's a 10-foot-tall carnivorous plant that stabs things so that they die and decompose next to them.
Is this actually true, or does it just have big spikes and the sheep run into them because they're dumb? Because there's two very suspect things here. First of all, why does it only kill sheep and not humans? And second of all,
it could probably kill a dude.
Second of all, why it doesn't kill humans as well as sheep?
Because it killed all the stupid humans back 200,000 years ago.
That is so crazy.
And since then we learned to stay away. It uses sharp spines to snare and trap sheep and other animals, which slowly starve to death.
What?
Yeah, so it just snares you with its spines and you can't get away and then you starve to death.
Oh my god, this is crazy. This is insanely cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I actually just purchased recently a carnivorous plant.
Well, did you get a Venus flytrap?
I got a Venus flytrap.
How's it working for you?
Well, it came and there were like, there's probably like over 30 of the actual flytraps in the little thing.
Oh, yeah. So like little guys? They're little tiny guys?
Yeah, and a bunch of them died off, but there were some big ones too.
Yeah, it's like when you have a twin that eats its twin.
Yeah, exactly. Like Edward Mandrake.
You want the... Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I know. Consumed in the womb, just like Dr. Venture, his twin brother.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what your Venus flytraps are doing.
Yeah.
They have to fight it out in the pot.
A bunch of them died off, which I'm sure is fine. I mean, there were a bunch of them trying to consist on the same little bit of soil.
Well, you need a lot of flies, too.
Yeah. But we've had, I mean, a handful of fruit flies, and I've been noticing the traps being closed up every now and then, so I think they are actually eating the fruit flies.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent of carnivorous plants.
Me too.
I do love, I mean, plants are old. Like, you think a freaking bear from 65 million years ago or whatever is old? Like, moss is literally the oldest thing on Earth.
Dino bear.
So there's reason to believe that like shit like this, and maybe even on a bigger scale, was around back when that giant bear was wandering around.
That's true.
And they're both in South America. I mean, it's crazy down there.
Dude, I thought that Australia was nuts.
Apparently South America is like creeping up on Australia in terms of the nutsometer.
Dude, the one thing is that, yeah, you got kangaroos in Australia. You got llamas and alpacas. In South America.
And guinea pigs.
And guinea pigs, dude.
And a whole culture that never invented the wheel, yet had a wheel-shaped calendar. Think about that.
Why don't you think about that?
Think about that.
God. South America, dude. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Plus iguanas and shit. Galapagos Islands. I'm starting to think South America is fucking crazy, man.
You know, I feel like South America might be like the insider's continent of like cool places to go, but no one wants to talk, like let the secret out.
Yeah.
I really want to go to South America.
I think
about that, though. It's like one time I was pricing it out because I was like, maybe I should do like a couple weeks in Peru or something while I have the chance.
Right.
I really wish I had taken up that. But I looked at return flights and they're like $1,200.
Wow. So that's cheaper than Australia, really.
I could actually get to Europe for cheaper than I could get to South America.
Oh, I see. But yeah, but there's a lot more flights going to Europe.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's Heathrow Airport is crazy.
I went to neither.
Well, yeah, but you've been to Australia like how many times?
Like six.
Yeah.
Australia sucks, though. I wish I'd go to Europe.
Oh, Europe is pretty kick-ass. But there are a lot more flights there. I mean, that's the thing. And it's also pretty close. Like, honestly, if you want to fly from New York to London, it's basically like flying from New York to Seattle.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you want to fly from Seattle to Peru, it's it's like flying from here to Russia. Like, it's far, man.
I should have just hitchhiked to New York and taken a flight to Europe from there.
Well, there you go, man. You could have gotten steerage and gone for like $300.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, maybe this wedding thing's not such a great idea. Maybe I'm just going to do that. Good idea, Eric.
Who knows?
You take the blame.
Well,
bye.
I'll be in Port Townsend on Saturday, regardless.
Okay. Maybe you can marry Tasha. Bye.
Not legal in this state, unfortunately.
Yet.
Yeah, man. Anyway, this plant, I want one. I want to put it in my yard. Why does it take 15 years to bloom?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like a crazy thing that only blooms like once every 15 years, which always reminds me of the Dennis the Menace.
Totally
movie.
Dennis the Menace, dude. I was going right there.
Real Dennis the Menace situation going on right now in England. If I was Sam or Ollie, I would definitely make my way to the Royal Horticultural Society in Surrey.
So what happens if
check it out.
What happens if Ollie or Sam gets stuck in the plant?
Then your plant food, dog.
Would they cut them out, or would they just let them die?
Well, it's an endangered species, like the elephant seal. So,
right, you gotta stay 100 feet away.
It's on you.
Oh man, I want one of these so bad, and I want Walter Matthau there, and I want him to have chiclets for his front teeth, and I want.
I forgot about that.
And I want Christopher Lloyd to be a creepy homeless man eating baked beans.
Dude, that fucking creeped me out as a kid.
It creeped me out a lot. And I was at the age where I did not like realize that was Doc Brown. I just thought he was like a scary old man who kidnapped Dennis the Menace.
It might actually be part of the reason that to this day I am horrified of homeless people.
That guy was super scary.
Super scary.
Like, that guy.
I know Dennis the Menace. When I was a kid, I was like, I ain't fucking getting out of no knots. Some homeless guy kidnaps me. I'm fucked.
I know. Yeah, Dennis was like, I can get out of no knots. Dude, that kid was such a bad actor, too.
Yeah, I know. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. But basically, yeah, Christopher Lloyd and Dennis the Menace and then the troll in Ernest Scared Stupid were like the two scariest things to me as a child.
I don't remember that.
Troll in Ernest Scared Stupid. Like, this was all told to me at some, like, during the summer, we would, like, I had this daycare that I stayed at when I was a kid during the summertime, and we would, like, it was right next to the school, and there was a trail, and we used to go back in the trail and, like, go and play in the creek and stuff. And without any adult supervision, it was a pretty bad daycare, I guess. but while we were back there one time, one of the girls was telling the story of Ernest Scared Stupid. There's a freaking troll who turns kids into wooden dolls just by looking at them. And there's a scene in the movie where there's this girl, she gets in bed, and then she turns around in bed, and the troll is in bed, and then he turns her into a wooden troll, or a wooden doll. And then stores her in a tree. That was terrifying to me as a child. And, like, I used to be so scared that I would, like, turn over in bed, and there would be a troll there. Now I'm only afraid of flying. Anyway.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There you go,
this
man.
This thing's blooming. I'm pretty excited about it. I hope that they feed it with sheep. That would be so cool. It'd be like the
they
scene
should.
From Jurassic Park.
Well, you know,
but
they
then
have...
they would be like, what's the name of this thing? Sorry, I used the same tab to Google Dennis the Menace. See what that kid was up to. Turns out not much.
It's called the, what is it called? It's called the sheep eater plant.
Yeah, in quotes.
Oh.
Jeez, they actually don't give it. Well, anyway.
It's the Puya chilensis.
The Chilensis, it wants to hunt. It doesn't want to be fed.
I know. This goes right along with our cordyceps zombie movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cordyceps that are cordyceps-infected cockroaches that are controlled by robots.
Yep. And then we can just blame it all on the Xbox One.
Yeah, exactly. Like everything else.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, let's move on. But before we do, we just want to let you know, Bald Move Network, guys, baldmove.com, get on there. We got the season finale for Mad Men that just happened. We got the Mad Men happy hours up for that. If you haven't checked out the mega episode for the season finale of Game of Thrones, that's fucking blowing up. Also, the Because Show is back. Jerilyn went to England. There's a bunch of shit that's going on with the Because Show, ladies. You need to listen to it. It will warm your heart, and it's just like listening to... Like, I have an older sister. It's like listening to my older sister. Not saying
that. I try
not
to listen to my older sister.
Well, your older sister's a badass, so maybe you should listen to her every once in a while.
Touché.
And then we have Up Yours Downstairs. They were currently covering Mr. Selfridges, but I think that's wrapping up right now. But we got a lot of stuff. Like, we're getting to season end, but that means that the new seasons are about to begin, guys, which means that Breaking Bad is just right around the corner, which also means that the Breaking Good Kickstarter, just a couple weeks left on that. They've unlocked a bunch of awesome stretch goals, but the ones that they have left are even cooler. We're talking daily posts from Aaron about the show, about things going on baldmove.com. And then the biggest stretch goal, which they're about $2,000 away from right now, you're going to get the Breaking Good podcast the day after Breaking Bad gets on the air. You're already getting instant shows. They're already doing instant reaction podcasts. And then you're going to get the actual podcast the day after. They're going to load you up with Breaking Bad content from your favorite guys who podcasts, Aaron and Jim. So please go to the Kickstarter, support the Kickstarter, go to baldmove.com and click on the Kickstarter link. Oh, and we're at baldmove.com too. So baldmove.com, Bald Move Network, we love everyone there, and you should too. baldmove.com. And then we just want to let you know you can get in touch with us. Please leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. personalarrogance@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. We're on Twitter at personalpodcast. And you can also find us on Facebook. We're on the Bald Move Facebook page, and we have our own Facebook page, and we just passed 200 likes on the Facebook page.
I know, I'm so excited about that.
I'm so happy about that. That just blows my mind.
The other thing, though, is the month is almost over.
Right.
June is almost over, and we haven't had a rate since June 5th, guys.
Wow. Wow,
get on iTunes and rate and review us.
Yeah, we actually haven't even talked about it. Please rate and review us. That helps us so much. It helps us move up the chain. Mm-hmm. We're in a couple of very niche categories. We're in the personal journals category on iTunes, and we're also in the other games category. And if you rate and review us, then we bump up and we become more popular in those categories. It's a great way to promote the show.
And the most recent one, not too kind.
What did it say?
It is a 5-star review.
Okay.
But the guy says, I could do with less beer talk.
That's the funny thing.
Not gonna happen.
That's the funny thing about our rate reviews. They're always like, I don't drink beer, and I don't play games, and I don't like superheroes, but I like this show.
I know. It is funny. And that's kind of the ultimate compliment.
It really is.
Like, I don't like anything they talk about, but I like the way they talk about it. All right.
That's fine with me. That's totally cool.
I'll take that.
So, yeah, please rate and review us on iTunes. It's an awesome way that you can help us out. And, you know, always we love your phone calls, 360-362-0024. Let's do the Facebook roundup real quick. We already hit a couple of topics, but we do post a thread every day that we are podcasting. We can post a thread on our Facebook page and let us know what you want us to talk about. First of all, Ryan Covington says, Harry Potter... And only Harry Potter. Oh, man, we really screwed this up.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Wingardium, my bad, a kiss.
Get off of us, my back a call.
Wow, that's not even close to a Latin root.
I don't even know. But Jesse does know a lot about Harry Potter. He knows more than he's putting on, guys.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Somebody went to the Harry Potter experience when it was at the Seattle Center, and it wasn't me.
Yeah, it was me.
Okay.
Levi went with me.
And what house are you in? Because you got chosen for a house.
I was, I got chosen to the house that I wanted to be chosen to, which was Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff's the best house.
It's the fucking party house, man. That's where all the stand-up comedians go. All the stoners. Basically, anyone you would actually want to hang out with is the Hufflepuff.
But this
it was a fun experience, though, actually. Just a quick aside when I was there. It was like, it's like all the people going into the Harry Potter deal at the Seattle Center. Like, we went in as a group, you know? Like, the ticket was, like, for this time, and then, like, the lady kind of did her thing.
Right.
And then you could kind of go off and do your own thing. So it was like, she was like, here's the sorting hat. And it's like me and my mom and my sister might have been there and Levi. And it's like, here's the sorting hat. Who wants to find out what house you're in? And there's a bunch of little kids there also, I should mention.
Right.
And, like, it was, like, dead silence. So I was like, I'll do it. And then she was like, great, what house do you hope you get in? And I was like, Hufflepuff. And she puts the hat on, and the hat's like, you get in Hufflepuff. And I was like, yeah. I made, like, a big thing about it. And then all the kids, like, were eager to get sorted. So it was a fun, like, icebreaker thing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Just
I guess that's me being the brony.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that.
Well, you know, touche. Touche.
Touche. All right, Mike Cassina is right on board. He says, which TMNT would you be and why?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, when I was a kid, Michelangelo was my favorite. Then Raphael became... Actually, I was in a Donatello phase as well. And then Raphael became my favorite. Raphael's probably my favorite one because he's the Boba Fett of the Turtles. But... Michelangelo's the coolest. He's got pizza and he's got nunchucks.
That's all I ever asked for. Although the nunchucks aren't super effective when you have greasy pizza fingers.
Well,
you're spinning them around and they fly out and hit Shredder or Splinter in the face.
Like, Leonardo is kind of lame, but he does have the most badass weapons. Like, two katanas.
That's hard to beat.
It's freaking crazy, dude. Two katanas. Like, samurai didn't even do that shit.
I have two of the best swords ever.
Yeah. So he straight up murders, dude. So I think he's a little bit sociopathic, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm just going to say I'm going to go with Donatello. I like the science. I like the staff. Uh-huh. And why not?
I could see you as a Donatello.
Yeah, I'll go Donatello. You go Michelangelo. I think you're totally Michelangelo.
Great.
You got the orange hair for the orange mask.
my orange beard is my orange mask.
Christian William Maurer says the rumored massive Star Wars land being added to Hollywood Studios and Disney World. New info since this article was written suggests that it will be Disney Park's largest expansion ever. Send us the link to IGN. First of all, this is really confusing to say.
Is there a Hollywood Studios at Disneyland?
Yeah, no, there's a Hollywood Studios at Disney World Orlando.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's going to be in Orlando, which makes sense because I think they have a lot more real estate than they do at Disneyland. Like, they literally had to wipe out the parking lot to make California Adventure. So I think it's awesome, and I think that it might be the first reason that I would actually go to Florida.
Whoa, massive burn on Nod Hero.
Well, I'll hang out with Nod while I'm there, buddy.
All right, fair enough.
Nod Hero's a great guy. I want to play Blood Bowl with him.
I heard from him in a while. Also, don't play Blood Bowl with Nod Hero. He'll kill you.
He'll destroy.
He'll crush you.
Well, he hasn't ran up against my Skaven Blight Scrambles team with Hack Flem Skittle Spike.
This guy is a professional.
Ollie James, we got your stuff. Rob Zip says, I didn't come up with Get Off My Back, but I'm more than happy to take credit for it. I thought it was Rob Zip.
I don't know.
Was there like a really drunk dude who used to call us a lot from Texas that I can't remember his name? I think it was the guy who said that I have to get out of my truck.
I thought that was Rob Zip who had to get out of his truck and literally kick himself in the ass.
I guess not. But he says, also, I'm happy that my tweet helped Eric win the shirt contest. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations, by the way.
I won the Mariners t-shirt contest, which means that on July 9th at the game versus the Red Sox, there will be 5,000 people wearing my Game of Throws. The winners are coming.
You get one, right? Like, what do you win?
They're hooking me up.
You get like an infield experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so they're hooking me up. I'm going to get the best seats I'll probably ever have to a Mariners game. They're in the fourth row right next to the Mariners dugout for this game.
How many tickets did they give you?
Four tickets.
Ooh, are you taking your brother-in-law?
Yeah, I'm taking my brother-in-law and my sister.
Are you taking your sister and your wife?
Yep.
Perfect.
So that all works out.
I wasn't trying to sandwich myself in there.
Right. Actually,
I really wasn't.
Actually, I'm taking your parents.
That'd be fine. I'd have a good time.
And I also get a ball signed by Hisashi Iwakuma, which is really cool.
Is he on your shirt?
Yes.
Oh.
And I get to be on the field for batting practice.
That's cool.
Yeah. As a lifelong Mariners fan, there's nothing cooler to me than having a thing that I designed being handed out at a game.
I'm proud of you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Anyway, James McKinnon says, today is my birthday. Thinking about buying either SimCity 4 or Tropico 4. Which one do you recommend? Tropico.
Yeah, I have to say I haven't played either of them, but I'm pretty sure about the whole debacle. Right.
And I'm pretty sure for the price of SimCity 4, you can buy every Tropico game on Steam. I think they like packaged them up. So
yeah, people seem to like Tropico.
Yeah. Jonathan Dose said, building off John Dominic's great idea, how about a board game Hall of Fame? Which I really
That's
like.
Worthy of its own segment. Man.
It's totally worthy of its own segment, and we're going to put that in our back pocket for future podcasts. But I guarantee you, Arkham Horror will be on there. Anyway,
and chess.
Spoiler alert. And then finally, John Dominic says,
not kidding.
Lansdale Beer Fest, lots of stouts for a summer fest, not many IPAs. Black is the new blonde? There's a lot of black IPAs now.
Yeah, that's a oxymoronic style.
There were 100 breweries, but very few reps from the actual breweries. One distribution company doing most of the pouring.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That really, really sucks.
Yeah, half of them didn't even know where the brewery they were pouring from was even located.
What?
Major bummer.
Where was this? I haven't actually seen this.
He says Lansdale Beer Fest. I don't know exactly where that is.
Man, what a boner jam. Like a Father's Day Fest. Like, I make the beer and I'm pouring it, you know?
Yeah, and he's
like,
asking.
That's how it should be.
He's asking.
Having
he says,
a distribution company. Ugh, that's disgusting. I wouldn't even let a stinky-ass distributor pretend to know anything about my beer, much less represent the brand. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's asking if this is a common thing. No, it's not a common thing. That's ridiculous. I would not go back to that beer fest if I were you. There are plenty of good beer fests out there. If you go to Philly Beer Week, dude. That sounds awesome.
Sounds pretty good.
Also, I just want to say, so that's the end of the Facebook roundup, but I do want to give a shout out. Last episode, I was giving a shout out to all of our loyal listeners, and I'm totally left out Europe. So Ollie James, Sam Golhamadi, and of course, Dennis Kleinbeck. You guys, we love you as well. And everybody who listens from the other side of the pond. Awesome stuff. Jesse, we got 2 minutes before I have to go pick up my wife. What's your first recommendation?
Oh, Brett Beers, Britannomyces, love them.
Do it. My first recommendation is going to be Whiz Dice. I talked about them before. There's basically 2 pounds of dice that you can buy on Amazon. One is Whiz Dice, and the other one, I believe, is Chessex.
Chessex is a great brand, though.
But Whiz Dice is a better pack because Chessex, you just get a bunch of random dice, whereas with Whiz Dice, you get like 17 full sets of dice. So.
I mean, I was checking out your Whiz Dice thing, and you had like 17 D100s, and you don't need that.
Well, that's fine. Like, what do you? I don't want some random dice that I have no idea what it does. Some random
I'm
custom
sure
dice.
They're real dice. They're not like.
Well, you just. I don't know. What I'm saying is, you know what you're getting with the Whiz Dice.
I don't know. And I would probably go with Chessex. Chessex is a great brand.
Well, this is my recommendation.
Oh, I'm sticking my stinky face into it.
What's your second recommendation, buddy?
Well, homebrewing, man.
Homebrewing, bro.
I love the way my homebrews have turned out for the
wedding.
And I'm super excited to make more homebrews in the future. And it's like, if you're really into beer, this is the way to control exactly the type of product you want instead of having to rely on a marketplace. It's fantastic.
Excellent. And finally, guys... I'm just going to recommend the Mariners game. If you're in the Seattle area for July 9th, go to the Mariners game. They're playing the Red Sox. It's always fun. That's it. That's all. So thank you so much for listening, Jesse. I'll see you this weekend at your wedding.
Yeah, you will.
And until next time, guys, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.